Om Shanti. Good morning. Welcome to the session, everyone. So today we have very great pleasure of Sister Judy Johnson from Canada to take the session. And Judy's based in Halifax, which is on the eastern side of Canada, and looks after the centre there as well as the Atlantic region of service. So we might be interesting to hear about that. But Judy's been in Gyan a long time, and in the first part of her Brahman life, there weren't a lot of Brahmins around where she was. So she became very experienced in churning and also writing. So I'll show you some of her books later. But she's a very good communicator and an extremely positive person. And so on the theme of the power of our togetherness through connection with the seed, which is the theme for our season, Judy's chosen the topic very appropriately, the ABCs of unity, ABC of unity. And so to start with, we're going to watch a little clip. Judy's asked if we can watch this together. So this will be shown on the screens on the side. Thank you.
Chotu Dara, a seeker. Aap sab tea peete ho. Tea, coffee, kuch na kuch peete ho. But dadi aapko vishesh tea pilati. Pienge tea. Pilaun. Suno. Pure tea. Pienge tea. Royal tea. Is it real tea? Pio, pio, real tea. Real tea, pio. Huh? Honesty. Kitni achhi tea hai? Honesty. Phir aao, anekati hai, unity. Huh?
Divinity.
Responsibility. Are tea pio, tea pio, or अति खुश मौज में आ जा, टी पीते हैं फ्रेश हो जाए.
ओम शांति. Isn't that wonderful to see Daddy? Yeah. So today we're here to drink a cup of unity. Yeah, the ABCs of unity. I thought I'd start with our daddies because, of course, our three daddies are the best examples, all our daddies, best examples of unity. A, Daddy Prakashmani. B, Daddy Gulzar. C, Daddy Janki. And what did they agree how many years ago? Always they would be united. Right? Nothing would divide them. So many things came to divide them. They were never divided. Wonderful example for us to have to start. I'd like to share a poem that came yesterday from a friend in Canada, and it is our theme of together. We gather because we become our better selves when we are together. We gather because God's love flows in the in-between spaces of our togetherness and strengthens our hearts and hope. Our interconnectedness helps make us whole. Independent and and worthy as we each are, together we once again recreate all that is worthy in the world. We gather in this space because we know who we have been, who we are, and who we are becoming. It is crucial that we willingly seek to understand our beauty and capabilities, and that we acknowledge together the impact of our choices on the web of life. Beautiful, yeah? A friend in Canada wrote that yesterday, by surprise. So, I'm a big fan of unity. So this topic is very near and dear to my heart. For those of you who I haven't yet met, my professional work, can you hear me better? Okay, thank you. So the professional work that I do is to help organizations come together and align in a common direction. So leadership development, team development, strategic planning, organizational development. So my whole life professionally is about creating unity. And 15 years before Baba, I was doing that in a Lokic way. 25 years with Baba has changed very much the way I approach creating unity in groups. So I thought I would share some of that thinking today. So, yeah, this topic is special to me, partly because of the professional work I do. But also, when I came to Baba, I got a special blessing from Bab Dada about the part that this soul would play in unity of the Yajna in the final chapter of the Confluence Age. And then suddenly my whole life made sense. Oh, that's why I've been training for so many years, learning about how to create unity in groups. So, special to my heart, how many of you feel that now is the time for unity? Yes, definitely, definitely. For me, as we come to the end of the Confluence Age, it feels to me that this is really the time that we begin to experience and express unity with our brothers and sisters in the Brahman family. Not just for our sake, but I feel that the deep commitment that the daddies made to unity is also the deep commitment that each of us feels to unity. And it is time that we rekindle, that we become aware again, that we awaken that deep commitment, partly because for the souls of the world who will only ever taste a little bit of Baba's energy, either through the center or through meeting us and seeing us in public, our unity will actually give them a sense of belonging, a feeling of belonging. And our whole human family has to have that feeling of belonging in the final days, weeks, months, and years. So unity is the basis for belonging, and the daddy's unity is the foundation on which we are living our Brahman lives right now. And we are the living legacy We are the ancestor souls as well. So expressing unity is our job, our time. So I thought I would share, it's going to be a bit of a workshop, so you're going to need a pen and a piece of paper or a notebook. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions to start. But first I'll share an image of a maypole. And maybe you can see it and I cannot. But when I worked as a professional facilitator before coming to Baba, in the Lokic world, the approach to unity is to get people to get along, to get people interpersonally to understand each other and trust each other and cooperate with each other. It's very transactional. Team building retreats, people go away, they share their heart, they listen to each other, they do trust building activities, and then they go back to work and the same old sanskaras are there. And so they become a bit cynical about unity because it works for a day, but it doesn't work when we go back to work. So at least in the West, where I live, people are very cynical about team building retreats. They don't trust them. They think it's very superficial. So when I came to Baba, it was a delight for me to discover that Baba's approach to unity is very different than the Lokic world. Do you know how? Have you given thought to how Baba's approach to unity is different? Basically, where they're doing this, Baba is doing this. He's getting all of us to connect to our highest and best. And thus, I like the maypole image. If everybody's thread is connected to the highest, Baba, then the dance, you know, the drama becomes dance around a common pole. And that pole is the connection with Baba. Right? Very different approach. It's not about trusting each other. It's about trusting myself, trusting Baba, and trusting drama. Also, in the Lokic world, very much they focus on differences. Differences cause conflict in the Lokic world. And so they're always looking for what's our common ground. What do we share in common? And in a way, there's a fear of differences, mostly because conflict comes with our emotional reaction to differences. It's not the differences themselves. It's our emotional reaction to the differences. So in the Lokic, we're always trying to minimize the differences, always trying to find what we have in common. And in Baba's approach, he highlights the differences in all of us, in each of us. He focuses on how each of us is completely unique and distinct from every other soul. He highlights our differences. We meet in the hall with 25,000 people, and he says, "Oh, you from Rajasthan, you're so special because." And then he says, "Oh, you from UK, you're so special because you're okay." Whatever. He makes each group and each individual aware of their speciality and how unique they are and different. It's a completely different approach to unity. That in fact, by seeing the beauty of the difference of every individual, is the way we create unity. Completely different, right? We're not minimizing the differences. Although we bring that habit from bhakti. We bring that habit from body consciousness and our time in the Lokic mindset. We bring the habit of suppressing our differences. And Baba wants us to highlight and celebrate them. That's a big turning point for us in our Brahman life to make that shift. So those are two salient features for me that were different as a professional facilitator before Baba, creating unity, and after Baba, creating unity. Completely different approaches. So I did a little qualitative research before this session, and I asked a number of people what they thought the ABCs of unity were. Of course, in English, A, B, C are the first three letters of the alphabet. So simple, basic. So I'm going to ask you now to write in your notebook A, B, C. And what do you think are the three most critical ingredients for unity at this time? A, B, and C. So one word begins with an A, another a B, another a C, or whatever the first three letters in your alphabet. And you may have many, but pick just three, the top three, an A, a B, and a C. And then when you have that, just share it with the person sitting next to you. Tell them your three. For those just arriving, we're identifying our top three, our A, B, and C of unity. What are the three ingredients most essential for unity at this time in the Kalpa? Okay. So, maybe you could say some out. Yeah, online as well. So people online can be doing this also, right? Yeah, okay. Welcome online. So let's hear some. A. Appreciation. Respect. Acceptance. Okay, they're coming in different languages, so they don't start with A, right? Atma, soul consciousness. Very nice. Acceptance. Appreciation. Anything else? Agree. Oh, isn't that nice? Agree. Okay. Altruism? No. Altruistic. Very nice. Okay. All right. So, of the 25 people I asked, the top three were acceptance, appreciation, and authenticity. Very interesting. That's just 25 of your brothers and sisters. Okay. So, how about for B? Belonging. beauty, belonging, brotherhood, benevolence, balance, beauty. Okay, of the 25, we had belonging, benevolence, and beauty. Okay, and C, cooperative, courage, communication, clarity, that's lovely. And, okay, so of the 25 I asked, we had cooperation, compassion, and courage. And one more, we had clean. Clean attitude, clean vision, clean intention. Nice, right? All right, so that's a warm-up. That's a warm-up for you. One of the things that gets me hired as a consultant, I discovered when I came to Baba, is that I could always see unity in a group. Even if everyone else in the group could only see conflict, I could always see unity. And that's when I understood, very personally understood, the cycle of time. Because I knew that I remembered unity was the one thing that stayed with me. Many things, but it stayed with me through the whole cycle. So seeing that thread of cooperation, benevolence, belonging, acceptance, appreciation, I'm always able to see that in a group, even in the midst of enormous conflict. It's not to say it's not there. It's there, but underneath is always a thread of unity. It's like Baba said on Thursday in the Murli that it was against the law for calamities of nature. Do you remember that? Like the natural order is harmony with nature. In the same way, the natural order is unity. In other words, disharmony, disunity is against the law, the natural law. Our natural way of being with each other is in unity. So we just have to remember that now, because it's there. So I am going to share with you an ABC, a different ABC. And there is a theory of unity that looks something like this. And I made my own pictures, so we wouldn't need a flip chart or a whiteboard. So can you all see this? And I know the brother will zoom in so they can see online and you can see on the side, yeah? All right, so these three wheels, in terms of what creates unity in a group, this is an ABC theory of unity that I learned 40 years ago when I started facilitating. And I think it's still very relevant in Baba's world, our world. So these three circles we see often, it's a Venn diagram, and you know that as they overlap, the center gets bigger and more unity, right? So these three wheels are a little bit like wheels of a wheelbarrow, wheels of a tricycle. If one of them doesn't work, what happens? It doesn't move forward. In the same way, every group, in order to experience unity, must have these three wheels balanced. So I'd like to explore these three wheels with you and give you a chance to reflect on your experience with these three wheels in your center, in your country, in the groups where you are an active member. Because our life is spent in community as Brahmins. That's why we're called a university, a family, an organization. This is not a solo act, right? In fact, our primary experience together in a group is a learning community. We come together every day to study the Murli together. That's our primary group experience, a learning community. So keeping these three wheels balanced in our learning community creates unity. Same with family, same with organization. Yeah? So it's important for us to know these. So most groups come together to do something. Otherwise, they're just a random set of people. But a group comes together because they have something to do together. Okay? So that's one of the wheels. But if they only do, and they never have any fun, and there's never a good feeling between them, then it's pretty awful. The atmosphere gets brittle. People don't cooperate. They don't feel safe to take risks. And you cannot learn anything unless you're safe to take a risk. You can be a parrot and repeat points from the Merli, but that's not learning. The only way we can learn is if we feel safe to take a risk. So one of the wheels is the feeling wheel. And the other wheel is the individual needs that we all bring into the group. Because we're all unique individuals. We all have different needs when we come into the group. So we have a wheel that's about doing. We have a wheel that's about feeling. And we have a wheel that's about individual tasks. Or individual needs. But I'm going to rename these wheels as A, B, and C and give you a chance to play with them. So the first wheel we will call A. And if you can draw these three wheels in your notebook and label the first one A. And this wheel we will call the Atma wheel. So I would like you to think of yourself in the groups where you study, the group where you live, the center group, regional group, national group, where you are as a Brahmin, especially as a Brahmin. But you are a soul and you take yourself with you. So it could be at work, it could be with your Lokic family, doesn't matter. But I would like you to write down the three Atma qualities, the three soul qualities you contribute to every group you're in. Because it's who you are and it's what you take with you wherever you go. So the three qualities of the Atma, of the soul. Three soul qualities that you bring to every group in which you are a member. So take a moment and write down three qualities, please, of yourself. And feel free to share with the person next to you if you'd like. If you're sitting next to someone who speaks the same language, go ahead and share. What are the three Atma qualities you bring into every group? Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. So, feel nice to identify those? Yes, bringing your soul qualities. Of course, when a group is in unity, when there's a feeling of unity in the group, it's very easy to express those qualities. Yeah? And of course, the reason we live in groups and study in groups is because it's the best laboratory learning environment. It is only in the group setting where all of my insecurities will be poked. Right? Yeah? Okay. So, the first A is atmosphere. Atmosphere. The first wheel to create unity in a group is to create an atmosphere of respect, an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere where the feeling is that I am safe here, that I can share freely. I will not be put down. I will not be humiliated or ashamed. I will not be criticized. I am free to learn, to grow, to be myself in all of its weaknesses and negative sanskaras, and it's okay. Because none of us are perfect yet, and we're all learning. So think of the ways that your Atma qualities help the atmosphere in your center, in your country, in your region, in your groups, the groups that you're in, that your Atma qualities help create that kind of atmosphere. Because that's what you want your soul qualities to do, to create an atmosphere that is safe, loving, respectful, accepting, all the good things, right? So, practically speaking, that means, do I encourage others? Do I ask questions? Do I support? Do I turn a negative into a positive? So, the rule of thumb for creating an atmosphere, excuse me while I exchange my flip charts here, is, yeah? But this is an acronym, LOVE. The first one, listen to understand pure intention. That's how you create a safe atmosphere. Listen to understand everyone's pure intention. Sometimes they don't even understand their own pure intention. You have to listen deeply to understand everyone else's pure intention when they speak. That's how you help create a safe atmosphere, a loving atmosphere. Okay? Open, be open to learn from everyone. Baba can touch anyone's intellect in the center, not just the senior teachers. Is this true? So open to learn from everyone. We create the atmosphere with our attitude and with our awareness and with our actions. So love, listen for pure intention, be open to learn from everyone. V, value everyone. Practically in your dharana, value everyone. This means I don't just talk to two people, I talk to everybody. I don't just talk to the popular people, I talk to everybody. Right? Value everyone. And then it's a safe atmosphere for everyone. Right? And the last one, E, embody virtues in action. Right? That's my dharana. Embodying virtues in action. So the way to fill, to make the wheel of atmosphere strong in any group so that we can have unity is L-O-V-E, Clear? Yeah? Clear. All right. Shall we move on to the next wheel? Okay. So the next wheel is... sorry for this, okay. B, obviously, so you can put B in your second wheel. And B, in this case, stands for... Baba's task. Baba's task. We come together as a group for a reason. Baba has a huge task to do, and we are helping Baba with his task, right? And of course, Baba's big task has many billion small tasks within it, right? From sweeping the floor to printing the Murleys, to getting the YouTube playlist ready, to cooking the meal. There are so many tasks in our Brahman life, are there not? Yeah. And I think we've noticed in the Yajna in the last 10 years how task conscious we all became. Have you noticed that in yourself? How task conscious, doing, doing, doing. And we always say, oh, but let's be now. Let's be instead of do. But of course, we still have to do. So be while doing is the best, right? Be, di, bap, dada. Be while doing. That's what we want to do. I would like you to look at the task wheel, though, and I'd like you to just do a short list of the tasks that you do to help Baba with his big tasks. So just write down a short list of all the tasks that you do in the run of a week, a month, in your centers, in your groups where you are. What are the tasks that you're involved with that are helping Baba with his big task? Just write down a short list inside that circle, okay? And maybe your page isn't big enough, and that's okay. You can clump them in categories, kinds of tasks maybe, yeah? So keep writing if you would like. And for those of you who are finished, I would like you to look and see what is the balance between the two wheels in your Brahman life. So the amount of mental energy and time that you spend on task, and the amount of mental energy and time you spend on creating an atmosphere in the group, in the center. So just take a moment and look at those two wheels and what balance you have in your Brahman life. And this, if you like, you can share again with the person sitting next to you, or sit quietly and reflect on your own. We'll just take a couple moments for those who might like to share. What's the balance? So let me ask you, how many of you feel that in the balance between atmosphere and task, you are spending more of your time and energy creating an atmosphere? One at the back. Two, three, four, look at that, five. Okay, all right. And how many of you feel that in the balance, you're spending more of your mental, emotional energy on tasks? Go on now. Okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, and it goes back and forth, doesn't it? Sometimes one, sometimes the other. Fine. Okay. You know, the unity that we are creating inside ourselves is also then reflected in our groups as well, right? So they're parallel processes. So we want to get it balanced inside ourselves as well as in the group. But when you look at your centers and you look at the groups that you're in, which is it? Is it more energy spent on atmosphere or more on task? More on task. Yeah, because there's a lot to do, especially as we grow. No question. So we're always trying to find a balance between atmosphere and task. We also know that each of us is serving with a group in a context that is the absolute perfect karmic knot for us. Correct? Right? So the atmosphere could get a little tense from time to time, let us say. Yeah? So a little more energy on atmosphere, and sometimes it's easier to do the task than to do this. I would like to show you something we decided to do in Canada because we kind of recognized, not that we had tense karma between us, but in Canada we have 5 time zones. And we kept thinking, we'll do a national program, we'll get all the Canadians together, we'll unite. And then just somehow the time, it was like a weight we couldn't overcome. It was like a wall. So it wasn't tense karma, it was more like a block. We just couldn't get past it. We tried, we planned, didn't work. Then we decided to do this. It's actually Eric, Brother Eric from Montreal, created this picture, which I think you're going to see on the screen. Isn't that beautiful? So what he decided to do, and we joined him, we cooperated, he said, let's just focus on the atmosphere between us. Let's not focus on the task. Let's not talk about a program, because we're not doing it. Let's just focus on atmosphere. So 5 years ago, he sent us this picture. Every center coordinator in Canada is on that picture with Sister Mohini. And we basically just gave each other drishti for a year. We gave the photo drishti for a year. And the loving feelings that were created. We already had loving feelings, but Canada's a big place. We can live and let live quite nicely. We don't see each other except in Maruban. And we're the only country in the BK world that does not have a national board. Because by law, our boards must be provincial. So we have 6 boards. So we are not forced to come together. We come together by choice. And up until recently, that choice was not active, shall I say. So we activated that choice to come together in the subtle. And we gave each other drishti. Well, we gave the picture. It still sits on the fridge in the Halifax Center. And I've seen it in the other centers in Canada. It's a very beautiful thing. And the intention was just to feel close. To look at each other and feel close. And actually to feel love. And, you know, we already felt love, so it was okay. But I know in other places where people did not feel love in the atmosphere, they did this practical experience in their center. And they put everybody's picture and they said, my job for a year is to create feelings, genuine feelings of love for each of these souls. Full stop. That was it. No program planning. Yes, we did all that. But the way to change the atmosphere was very subtle and incognito. So surprisingly, what happened for us in Canada is we started having ideas for programs. We started wanting to come together more. And now, if you can believe it, every Wednesday at 5 p.m. in my time zone, we open our Zoom, those same people on that heart, we open our Zoom for 1 hour and we sit and we give each other drishti in silence for 1 hour on Zoom every Wednesday. And we have done this for 7 months. I can't believe we're still doing it. And it's fantastic. It just feels like mountains are moving across this huge country of Canada. Things are happening that seemed improbable. Programs spouting up in places we didn't know. Instruments moving to places that were not served before. Service booming without us doing anything except creating this very powerful atmosphere. It's a very interesting way to unify the country. We remember in Canada that Bap Dada had said, when Canada unites, it will be the end. So get ready, everyone. We could meet every second week. You want us to slow down a bit? No, I mean, you know, he says things to different countries, but you know, and I think he was feeling the pulse. We're not united, but there was just too much space to, like, we just weren't coming together. You know, it wasn't conflict. It just wasn't, you know, such unity. So now it is much stronger. So in a group setting, though, so those are some nice examples of how you could actually be quite subtle and create an atmosphere. The task, when you're sitting in a group and there are a million tasks to be done and everyone is stressed at the center by all the things they have to do, what is the response? What is the response? What is the response? Yes, okay, only this time it means different things. L, look for ways to support others in their tasks. Great way to create unity. Step out of your own small world, your own small to-do list, and look for ways to help others. Cooperate with others in their tasks. O, ask open questions to clarify the direction and the steps of the tasks that we're engaged in together. Oh, ask open questions. What can I do to help? What's needed next? How are we going to do this? What are the next steps? Help move the task along by asking open questions. Right? V, value everyone's contribution, no matter how small. When there's a lot to do, it's easy to start comparing who's doing a lot, who's doing a little. Kills unity. Value every contribution, because when it's valued, it grows, no matter how small it is. Right? And E, express accuracy in action. So becoming essenceful. Did you hear Sister Janti's interview about a month ago with Sister Gopi? And she said, how are you getting everything done? All the tasks you have to do now that you've taken on this new role. And if you heard that interview, she said, I don't know, but somehow I am. What used to take me half an hour now only takes me 10 minutes. So she gets more done because she spends less time on everything, because she's more accurate and essenceful. So expressing accuracy in action. It's always going to be love. It's always going to come back to love. You got to love the task enough to do it well, to do it cooperatively. Yeah? We okay for B? Okay. Now here's the big one. This is C. So you can write C in the bottom. Wheel. And C stands for calming ego. Calming ego. So remember I said a group comes together to do something and it has feelings, but also there are individual needs, right? When individual needs are not met, what happens? Ego comes out. All those sanskaras we built over half a cycle to protect the soul, right? The ways we get poked in groups, all the insecurities that come out when we're in a group, it's because we're fearful our individual needs will not be met. And so all of our coping mechanisms, all of those body conscious sanskaras we have developed for 2,500 years come out in a group. That's why it's messy. That's why we need to focus on this. Right? But we really need to find ways to calm the ego. In myself, and when I see it expressed in others, in the group. Because ego hates unity. Ego will do anything to destroy unity. So we have to calm ego. I bet you can guess how. Ah, Tam, thank you so much. Love? Yes. But let me first tell you the typical, and I've made this handout for you, for anyone who would like this. I think they're up here somewhere. But I'm going to read out the four basic individual needs that get challenged when you're in a group context. And I'm going to ask you to see which of these you can recognize in yourself or in any of the group members where you live and serve and study. Okay? And they're on here, so you'll get them. But here they are. The first one is the challenge of identity. Who am I in this group? Am I anybody? Do I matter? What part do I play? Do they care about me? Who am I in this group? The challenge of identity. I may, in my own little group, feel very comfortable with who I am. But when I come into another group, and very often our service group, that is challenged. And I feel quite insecure about who I am. Am I good enough? Who am I? Do they see me for who I am? Identity issues. And when that happens and you feel insecure, look at the behaviors that come out. These are the ego expressions of protection.
Shilpita ko ab yaad karo, mukti dhaam.
first individual need is just to feel okay about me in a group setting. And when I don't, then the sanskaras that get triggered are the ego sanskaras, right? That for me are just a protection for the insecurity I feel inside. But for other group members, it may feel aggressive, defensive, blocking, critical. They're not usually nice behaviors for other people. And even for ourselves, they can be not so nice, but they're really meant to protect. So the one need is, who am I? The other one is around power and influence. Will I be listened to? Will I have the power to influence what's going on in this group setting? So it's like a leadership challenge is what happens inside an individual. It's an individual need. We all have. We're masters. We're sovereigns. We're kings. Of course, we would have an idea. And would that be listened to? Would that be heard? Do we have the ability to influence? And if I feel like I don't, what happens? Undermine, sabotage, criticize, all kinds of behaviors are visible externally. But of course, the sanskaras come out because ego. I'm being poked. My insecurity is poked. The next one, will people understand my goals or needs? Maybe mine are different than the group's. Or maybe nobody's even asked me what's important to me. Maybe nobody in this group knows what matters to me, what my goals are, what my needs are. So if I feel like my goals will not be met in this group setting, then I might become a loner. I might not cooperate. I might go off and do my own thing, take care of myself, because we all know how to do that. Right? So that's an individual need. Right? But what we see through the behaviors is an ego expression, sanskaras, right? And the fourth one is comfort with closeness. It's our comfort or discomfort with intimacy. Some have the need to stay far because they're too uncomfortable getting close to other people. And some have the need to be really, really close because they're uncomfortable being alone. And in any group, you can see when it's not balanced. Oh, they're all like too close. Little individual space, please. Or you can see there's no closeness. Everybody's just doing their own thing. Or some are doing their own and some are close. But it's an individual need of each of us is the right amount of closeness. The respectful space of loving, detached relationships. We have not mastered that yet. And so that individual need would be visible in a group. And you will see people getting too familiar, too close. And you will see people staying far. And it's all around the individual need for, you know, balanced closeness. So when these are not met, ego comes out and it looks problematic. For me, this is a fantastic diagnostic assessment of any group. What's the atmosphere like? Is it lovely? Right? Is it lovely? Are they on task? Are they even clear what the task is? Do they have efficient, effective ways to get things done? Or do they just go in circles and never get anything done? Right? Or do they all go 1,000 miles in a different directions? And the common task doesn't get done. But then in particular, when you see individual people acting out in a group, usually it's because their individual needs are not being met. But what the group can do is ostracize or isolate them or judge them or scapegoat them, make them the bad guy. Groups are really good at making somebody the bad guy. Because it's easier to blame, right? Because blame is the next step from cause and effect. There must be a cause for this terrible behavior or terrible behavior. And actually the cause is karmic. The cause is complicated. The cause is interconnected, and I'm part of that. It's not easy to see one single cause because it's not a problem to be solved. It's a predicament. It's a mess of emotions and karmic bondages and knots all in one puddle. But it's easier to think cause and effect because we're problem solvers, thanks to 2,500 years of solving problems. But in reality, it's not a problem to be solved. It's an individual need to be met. So, the one thing I can do in a group to help create unity is to calm the ego that arises in me. And when I learn to do that for myself, I become much more compassionate when I witness it in others. I can see, oh yeah, look, they're not feeling heard. Oh yeah, they don't think their leadership is being respected. Oh yeah, they want to feel close. They don't know how. Right? Oh yeah, what's the other one I said? Let's see if I can remember now the other one. Their needs are not, their goals maybe don't, or they don't feel comfortable here. Okay, what I want to show you now is this one. So, the cure, always, for every one of these. So, in this case, L stands for listen to your deep inner voice. That's the way to calm ego. Because the deep inner voice is wise. We know that. That's soul conscious. Right? But also there's a deep inner voice that is maybe scared or maybe hurt. Right? There's a little inner voice in there that really, if you could hear that voice, you could be compassionate and help respond to that one. Right? This is healing. This is with Baba. Right? And then, open to Baba's love. Open to Baba's touchings. When I am actually aware of the hurt or scared part of me, that little wound, that thing that happened, doesn't matter what it was, the feeling is still there. I feel small, I feel scared or vulnerable, I'm not in my master stage. If I listen to that with compassion, then I will feel Baba's love. And I won't have to use ego to get my needs met. I let Baba meet them. Right? And then V in this case, valuing my own self journey. My journey is different than everyone else's. I just need to value myself and where I'm at. On my own journey. I'm learning. I'm growing. Recognize the unfulfilled needs still. That's okay. But I'm learning how to get Baba to fulfill those needs for me. I don't need the group to do it. I don't need another human being to fulfill those needs. Baba will. Yeah? And E, in this case, embrace my original stage as my best friend and companion. Embrace my original perfect form as my best friend and companion. So L-O-V-E, love, is the only way to calm ego in me. And it applies for others when I see ego expressed by others in the group as well. ABC, group unity. Clear? Three wheels in perfect balance. You can look. So now I have some reflection questions and then a short meditation. So I would like you to look at these three wheels. Well, first of all, I'd like you to look at the calming, the C wheel. Did you recognize any of those unfulfilled individual needs in yourself? And this will be private. You don't have to share this with anyone. But did you recognize any of those? either the identity, who I am in this group, my goals, will they be met, leadership, my ability to influence, and the last one, comfort with closeness, intimacy. If you recognize any of those four individual needs, and maybe they're not getting met in the group where you study and live, then what are you currently doing to calm ego? Take a moment and just reflect on that. What are you currently doing to calm the kind of behaviors that come out when those unfulfilled needs are not being met? And just give yourself a little pat in the back with that. Because that's a journey. It's okay. We try different ways, but just take a moment now and reflect on that if you can. And then I have two more reflection questions to end. So we don't want to suppress, we want to calm with love. In a corporate environment, I'd have to recreate the whole thing. Well, it would be atmosphere. The original, it was called MIT. Corporates love that. M is maintaining a good atmosphere. T is task, and I is individual needs. But I just reworked it for Brahmins. T is task. Maintain an atmosphere. I for individual needs and T for task. So MIT. But let's stick with ABC, shall we? And C. And the only reason for doing that is to create a rosary of victory for the world. So in this moment, I'm going to ask you just to imagine yourself as an absolutely beautiful, polished bead. One single, beautiful, precious bead. Maybe a pearl, could be a diamond. But feel the incredible value of you, the individual soul, Baba's precious child. He has his eyes on you and you alone in this moment. He sees your beauty. He loves and supports you as you are polished by drama. You are the most beautiful bead in this rosary of beads. And feel that love penetrate deep into the very heart of your being. And that love activates the energy of love in you. I'd like you to visualize the energy of love like a thread emerging from behind your forehead, a thread of light. The energy of love, dazzling, sparkling, beautiful light. I'd like you to weave it like a flowing thread. And I'd like you to imagine it connecting to the bead sitting next to you. Just as a thread of love connecting two precious beads on one side of you and on the other side of you. Imagine this thread of love extending outwards and connecting the bead on either side of you. And with your mind, spread the thread of love to every bead in this room. Creating a rosary of beads. But do not close the loop. Extend it beyond this room to all the beads in your center, every one of them, by name. All the beads in your Brahmin family, in your country. And every beautiful Brahmin bead around the world. Until we have a rosary threaded with love of unity. And imagine in your mind handing this beautiful rosary to Bapdada in the subtle region with each of our daddies and dadas smiling, proud. Unity is our ultimate victory. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.